Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always, enjoying just a smoky Sunday in Salt Lake City. Today's August 8th. Got church softball playoffs this week, so hopefully the air clears up, so I'm not playing in an N95 mask.
Hopefully, yeah. It's been nice. I haven't run all week, pretty much. This is, I think, the worst I've ever... Certainly yesterday was the worst I've ever seen.
It's honestly getting to the point where I'm going to start wearing masks outside and taking them off inside.
Right.
Worst air quality in the world, I believe. Definitely the country.
For now, yeah. It's hopefully we'll get better. Although this time, I like that it's not our fault, you know?
Yeah, it's California, right?
Yeah, usually it's us and the driving and the inversion, which, not that we drive more than anybody else, we just happen to live kind of in this valley that will trap the pollution from the cars. In the summer, we don't get it, except when these California forest fires come in. So.
Yeah, the winter's bad. The summer's always nice.
Well.
Typically speaking.
As far as except for air fires. Quality.
Yeah, as far as air quality.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's been a busy... So today's Sunday, August 8th. So the closing ceremonies, I think, happened in Tokyo, but haven't been shown yet in the U.S. We meant to do one before the Olympics started, but just I was in California last weekend. Just busy stuff. So we're doing an Olympic recap instead of an Olympic preview.
Yeah.
NBA free agency also happened this week. One of my favorite days of the year, weeks of the year. So we'll talk about that once we're done talking about the Olympic track stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Matt only gets so many opportunities to talk about track.
I know. I was getting up at 5 in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, 6 in the morning to watch track every day. And so my sleeping schedule has been really off, but it has been so fun. It was a really, really good year for the distance events. It might just be because I'm a U.S. fan. I found the sprints very underwhelming, at least on the men's side.
Well, yeah.
So, should we start? What do we want to start? If we're starting with track, do we want to start with the positives or the negatives?
Let's start with the negatives, because I don't... USA men, unless you want to start with positives.
Yeah, no, we can start with the negatives, that's why I asked.
The American men did not win a gold medal until literally the last race of the Olympics.
Yeah.
Which is, to be fair, I mean, I'm not an Olympic athlete, so I obviously can't do that. But USA should not be winning one gold in men's track.
Yeah, you'd like them to win more. It's been interesting. We haven't won a ton of gold medals in the sprints for the last 3 years because there's this guy that you may have heard of named Usain Bolt who has won all of the gold medals. Usually we've been able to get a 400, a 400 hurdles. We won in 2016 with Karan Clement. I believe we won the 400 in London. We certainly did win the 400 in Beijing with LaShawn Merritt, Jeremy Warner winning before that.
Jeremy Warner was awesome.
Jeremy Warner is a cool guy. It was sort of disappointing. And we had a few, like Ry Benjamin. No way to be disappointed with Ry Benjamin in the 400 hurdles, who became the second person under 46 seconds in the 400 hurdles, which is absolutely bananas. We didn't think anybody was going to break that barrier for decades and decades and decades. The problem is that Carson Warholm from Norway did it about 0.1 seconds before he did.
That was my favorite race of the Olympics, probably, was the 400 hurdle final, except for the USA getting second. But yeah, like, if you break a world record, there's nothing you can do,
right?
You
know, yeah,
if you lose.
Yeah, he ran a phenomenal race.
He's awesome.
Handled himself really well. And so I'm going to, we'll talk about my favorite race when we move on to the positives. But yeah, that was maybe the best 400 hurdles that has ever happened. So yeah, totally historic race. That would be a good one to watch on YouTube. But yeah, even in the sprints, you know, Trevon Bromell did not qualify for the finals. And it's weird because he had the fastest time in the year and just did not perform. I don't think he broke 10 seconds in the semifinals or the finals. If he did, it wasn't by very much. And so for him, I have to assume that either he had an injury or that something went wrong with his training, just peaked at the wrong time and then never got back to his speed at the Olympic trials level. But, you know, he had had a really rough few years since Rio, a lot of Achilles injuries, so good for him to come back. And then, yeah, Noah Lyles getting third in the 200. He handled himself pretty well and was content with the bronze, but disappointing for him not to get gold for sure.
Now, speaking of a couple fourth-place finishes, I always love football athletes in any field. Like, my favorite bachelor or bachelorette contestants are the two football players. I'm sure there's more than two, but, like, mm-hmm. the football players.
Yeah.
So, in the 110-meter hurdles, Devin Allen got fourth for the U.S. He played football at Oregon and was a pretty good, like, a starting receiver for the Oregon Ducks.
Mm-hmm. And this was when Oregon was good, too.
Yeah, this was I remember he was on Marcus Mariota's team.
Yeah, like better than they are now.
Yeah, like he was a legitimately great receiver. Well, it's a good receiver, but great track athlete. He's got fourth, unfortunately. We got silver in that med. I forgot the name of the athlete who got silver in that.
That was another very disappointing one. David Oliver, I always want to say him, but it's Grant Holloway got second. He had not lost a race all year. And just didn't quite put it together. Hurdles are hard because you have one misstep that can take, you know, 0.2, 0.3 seconds off. Yeah.
And the other football player who I think deserves an incredible shout out, Arian Knighton, 17-year-old kid from the Tampa, Florida area. He's like a 4-star receiver recruit. He's getting recruited by like Alabama, Auburn, like all these SEC schools, Miami, Florida State, obviously. And he got fourth at 17 years old. He got fourth in the 200-meter dash.
If he ends up playing football, I'm going to lose my mind. Like, he just has to go professional and track right now. That kid is so good. And actually, maybe a good place to start moving into the positives.
Yeah, honestly, my only negative was just the general lack of golds. Yeah. I didn't really have any other specific. Oh, and the baton handoffs are just atrocious and embarrassing.
Yeah, we just can't figure out those baton handoffs on the men's side anyway.
That's it for the negatives for Jake.
Good news is a lot of these people who got silver and fourth are very young. As Jake mentioned, fourth place for Arian Knighton being 17. Silver in the 200 was our guy, Kenny, I forget his last name, it starts with a B. He's 22, I believe. Noah Lyles is still young. Trayvon Bermell's pretty young. He's 25 or so, which is not young for a sprinter, but he still definitely has one more Olympics.
Rye Benjamin has one more good Olympics, right? He's 24 or
something. 23, 24.
Yeah.
Michael Norman is 23, 24, who got... he got fifth. He was expected to medal, and was pretty disappointing because he has a Japanese mother, and so it just would have been real fun for him to win.
That would have been cool.
So yeah, men's team is very young, so I'm excited to see what they can pull together for the next Olympics.
The one medal the men did win, the 4x4, who was the guy who ran the second leg? That was the guy with the Japanese right?
That was Michael Norman.
He ran the best leg, I thought, of that race.
Him or Rye Benjamin, one of those two.
Because when Norman ran, we were at second leg, we were in third place, and he got us in first, and we never, like everyone else extended the league, but he never relinquished it.
Right, yeah.
It was awesome.
That was a good race. And then the other positive is the women did great.
Women did awesome.
Women did really well. You know, Jamaica swept 100, which, you know, you can't be mad at that because they're Jamaica. Speaking of which, if you look at all the Olympics that probably including this year, but certainly Beijing, London, and Rio, if you did the medal count per capita and just like did like who got the most medals by how many people live in the country, Jamaica would win the medal count by like thousands.
Yeah.
They're nuts.
Well, obviously, and everyone just Bolt is the greatest sprinter of all time, obviously, but like they're a legitimately good. Them and us are one and two sprinting countries in the whole world. Like, it's not Bolt wasn't just like a random thing. Mm-hmm. Jamaica's I don't know why or how, but they're like a powerhouse track country.
Yeah, they're nuts. I can't be mad losing to Jamaica. We had Gabby Thomas, 21 or 22. She got third in the 200, which was great. I thought the best race of the Olympics was not the men's 400 hurdles. I thought it was the women's 400 hurdles with Sydney McLaughlin and Dalila Muhammad.
I didn't watch that, but we went 1-2, so that was a better result for us.
Yeah, better result for us. That was a great race. The last four times that those two have raced against each other, they've broken the world record. So they are both the only two women to go under 52 seconds for the 400 hurdles, which is nuts.
That is so fast.
Yeah. And they're still, McLaughlin is just turned 22. Dalila Muhammad is 30, 31. And we just saw Allison Felix at 35, who got a medal, which was also great. But I expect both of them to be at the next Olympics in Paris, although I probably Sydney McLaughlin's going to be much more of a favorite over Dalila than she was at this Olympics.
Well, I was going to say McLaughlin is going to be like the next female track star, probably, I would say, for the U.S.
Yes, yeah, I think it's going to be hers. It's not going to be as easy as it was for her than Allison Felix, just because Allison Felix did multiple events. But, you know, put McLaughlin into the 4x4 relay, that certainly helps.
And she did great. The whole women's team did awesome.
Right. Speaking of that, a thing, Mo, man, she won the 800. She is huge. Like, she, at the next Olympics, said she wants to do the 400 and the 800, which I believe nobody has ever done.
Yeah. Matt knows more than me. I've never heard a lot of these people before 2 weeks from now, male or female. But yeah, she was sweet.
Yeah, so her and Sydney McLaughlin are going to be like the two big stars, especially if a thing Mo can move into the 400 and be a real medal threat for the 400. She's going to be a really, really big star.
And I don't know if you want to move on, but the Harvard gal who got bronze, I don't even remember what race it was, but she's just an incredible person to, I'd never heard of her before, but what a gal.
Yeah, that's Gabby Thomas in the 200.
Gabby Thomas, that's what it was, yeah. So, she's sweet, so you fill in, but she graduated from Harvard, and now she's at one of those, like, huge research schools or whatever in Houston.
Yes.
Like the big medical center.
Some sort of neurobiology master's degree she's working on.
And she just has the time, just in her spare time, to be good enough to get a medal at the Olympics.
Right, yeah. So she's going to be good as well. They got a silver in the 4x1, which, again, there was no way we were going to beat the Jamaicans in the 4x1 if they swept the medals.
Yeah,
the 100, like.
Which is fair, yeah. And the women, the men I know really screwed the pooch in the batons. I think the women didn't. I think it was just the men's 4x1 team. But it's just a consistent problem they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the women have been able to have done a lot better with the baton than the men have. And I do want to clarify as we talk about this, the reason the men have struggled with the baton is because they don't practice. And if you watch the 4x1 in the Olympics, you see countries like Japan and China and Italy who really have no business being good in the 4x1 because they don't really have any good sprinters. Italy, who I just mentioned, obviously has Lamont Jacobs, who won the slowest 100-meter race since Athens, I believe, maybe even Sydney. Good for him. He was the fastest on the day. Time shouldn't really matter. But the point is, those countries pick their runners a year in advance, and they practice those handoffs and practice and practice and practice. And America just does not do that, and we haven't won since 2000. Which is crazy because we should, except for those years with Bolt and Asafa Powell and Johan Blake, we should be winning. And even with those guys, we should be getting silver.
Yeah, not meddling is astounding. Not winning gold is a disappointment. Not meddling is just unbelievable. And Carl Lewis, who, him and Michael John, one of the two best male Olympic track athletes ever, he went off on Twitter, and I think rightfully so, but he was just talking about everything Matt just said. Like, it's no excuse, really. Like, it's hard, but it's not a complicated problem.
Yeah. So again, not the athlete's fault. They need more practice. We can't put them in a position to fail and then criticize them. The USA track and field leadership needs to do better.
Yeah.
So we're getting pretty close to being done with track, but real quick, Courtney Friedrichs ran an awesome 3,000-meter steeplechase. She, about halfway through the race, just kind of took off and got a 20, maybe 25, 30-meter lead on people, which is nuts. Just a super risky thing to do. She ended up getting caught by a Ugandan woman and got silver. But I just love when a distance runner does something gutsy and it ends up paying off.
Yeah.
Because that was cool. Uganda actually had a really great Olympics. They won the 5,000, got silver and bronze in the men's 10,000. They obviously got that gold in the women's steeplechase. Which is exciting because they, you know, are real close to Kenya, Ethiopia. But we haven't seen them in the Olympics past. So it'll be really fun if they can come in and sort of break up this Kenyan-Ethiopian rivalry.
Would be fun.
Yeah.
Would be fun. Speaking of that, talk about the marathon. A Kenyan won the men's marathon. Are we on that yet?
Yeah, let's talk about the marathon. Eliud Kipchoge, a man from Kenya, won the men's marathon. And he is... If you read about this, you're going to see a lot of people say he's the best marathoner of all time. Certainly the best marathoner. The best distance runner is probably Haile Gebrselassie from Ethiopia because he had more success on the track. But this guy, Kipchoge, who won this year, is the third person to defend an Olympic gold medal, which is interesting because Kenya, you think about Kenya as this great distance running country. They had not won gold in the men's marathon before Rio with Kipchoge. So they had not had as much success in the marathon as the Ethiopians had. So he is a huge superstar in Kenya. And he's just, you know, he's just a nice guy. Everybody seems to really like him. You saw that this Brazilian ran up to the front of the pack and gave him a fist bump just so he could kind of talk to him and be next to this great marathon runner. So that was a great race on the men's side. On the women's side, we had... like 98% sure it was a Kenyan. I forgot. I wasn't super paying attention to the front because in third was Molly Seidel from Wisconsin, who nobody was expecting to medal. And so for her to get bronze, she's only the third American woman to get a medal in the marathon. And that was just so much fun to watch. It was just stressful. It was the race I was most stressed for because the marathon goes so long and it was so hot that at any minute somebody could drop out. That's actually what happened with Molly. She was in fourth. There was a woman from Israel who was ahead of her and going to get bronze. And she just, I don't want to say heat stroke, but the heat certainly affected her to a point where she had to drop out. And so it was just, is Molly going to make it? Is she going to make it? And then she got that medal, which was really, really exciting. Super fun to watch. Proud of her. So.
Kenya went gold and silver in the women's marathon.
Gold and silver. Okay, good.
Going to try to pronounce their names. But.
That's what I thought. Yes, silver, actually a little bit of an upset. Bridget Kosge of Kenya. So another interesting fact about the marathon. Only twice in history has the favorite to win the marathon won gold. It's not for whatever, just the marathon is so random that the favorite doesn't actually win. The two times that the favorite has won is Eliud Kipchoge in Rio and Eliud Kipchoge here in Tokyo.
Good to know. Good to know.
So
interesting stuff.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think we might be done with track.
Only have to wait 3 more years till Paris.
Only have to wait three more years till Paris. The World Championships for track are going to be next year, which are not as big of a deal as the Olympics, but still a very big deal. And they're going to be in Eugene, so I think there's a good chance I go if you're interested.
I'd be talked into it. When I was in Eugene for my school visit, they were redoing Hayward Field, like, so I didn't get to go check it out. I saw Autzen and stuff like that, so I'd be down to go check it out.
Yeah.
Eugene's a cool town. Big fan.
Never been, but I'm sure it's great.
Big fan. Yeah. No, you'd love it. I'd be down to go for sure, depending on when it is and stuff, but. Maybe we'll see you from Eugene.
Yeah.
Should we talk some basketball? Was there any other Olympic stuff we wanted to chat about?
Not really. Just one thing I like about the Olympics is, are there any events that you don't typically watch? Like, track is obviously unusual, but I consider myself a track fan. Is there any strange sports you watched that you ended up enjoying or not enjoying? Other moments that you thought were cool?
I thought the handball was really fun to watch. Yeah, I only caught glimpses of it.
It's a weird sport.
Wouldn't know how to explain it. I actually kind of like the canoeing stuff. I caught that a little bit. Yeah. That's not super weird, but I think that stuff's cool.
The like the canoeing racing or like in the rapids where they have to like slalom.
I didn't see the rapids this year, but I saw the racing. I was thinking of the rapids, but I just didn't see it when it was on this year because yeah. I feel like NBC did a terrible job of broadcasting everything. Rugby might have been that's not again unusual, but the rugby because they do sevens instead of 15, so it's much more open. Mm-hmm. So that was always fun to watch the rugby. Fiji won gold in that.
Yeah.
But USA did pretty well still.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think because boxing is not weird. I liked watching the boxing. The women's 3-on-3 basketball first time there. Yeah. That was awesome. Men didn't qualify, but women Kelsey Plum, probably my favorite women's player. She tore it up. The whole team tore it up. Won gold. First ever 3-on-3 in the Olympics. So that was probably my favorite not normal event was the 3-on-3 basketball.
Nice. Yeah, that was a cool event. I like that. I like the fencing. The other one that I know a lot of people like gymnastics. I'm not a huge gymnastics guy. I really liked seeing Michaela Skinner be able to get an Olympic medal just because she's been trying to get on the Olympic team for so long. She made it, but not really on the team, like was kind of on the team, but sort of an alternate. And then she thought that she didn't qualify. But then unfortunately with Simone Biles dropping out, she got an opportunity. So it feels cool to see her get her medal. I like that.
She at least competed for the University of Utah in college. I don't know if she's from Utah, but she competed for Utah.
I believe she is from Arizona.
I love Arizona as well. Someone from our high school, Cottman High School, was got fourth in a swimming event. Or oh, Rachel yeah. something.
Yeah.
Or that, Annie something.
Yeah, I think Ryan. Ryan.
Ryan. White. That's kind of close.
Ryan White.
So, go Colts.
Yes, go Colts. Sorry, those of you who are huge swimming fans. I just don't get into the swimming as much.
I don't know. Caleb Dressel did well.
Yeah, Caleb Dressel did well. We won a few relays. I saw this I actually really liked. A kid, an 18-year-old from Tunisia, won either the 200 freestyle or the 200 butterfly.
I remember that. That was weird.
Which was yeah, it was fun.
What else? I was gonna say something, but I don't remember. I don't remember, but yeah, Olympics are cool. Yeah, I wish they would have I would have known when the stuff was going on more, but
yeah, hard to figure out when to watch.
Yeah, but yeah, because I was gonna. The only other thing I was gonna say, and this is going into basketball anyway, but Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi got their fifth gold medal.
Yeah,
Allison Felix got 11, so she passed Carl Lewis in track for most track athlete medals for the United States. Mm-hmm. And Sue Bird's dope. Yeah. Well, so is Diana Taurasi, but. Mm-hmm. Should we talk about the NBA, speaking of basketball?
Let's talk about the NBA, yeah. Men's team got a gold medal as well. Rudy Thank Gobert goodness. Got a silver. Joe Ingles got a bronze.
I feel bad for Rudy, because he was obviously, he was not crying, but a little teary-eyed after the game, which is totally understandable. And I don't think a lot of people were, but some people I saw were giving him a little crap just because he cried when he didn't make the All-Star team a few years ago as well. He's an emotional guy. He works hard. Yeah. He cares about it. Yeah. I don't...
Let him care about the sport.
Yeah, he's into it. He's invested.
Yeah, that's exactly what we want.
That's what we want out of athletes.
So, yeah. And by the way, he played really well for them. He was doing some post moves. He was guarding well on the perimeter. I feel like the Jazz blame him a lot for giving up all those open threes against the Clippers. I don't totally think that's fair because I think... that our perimeter defense just could not keep anybody in front, and so Rudy Gobert had to commit to the basket. Obviously, it was slow moving out to the corner, but he also this doesn't get talked about as much. Mike Conley and Donovan were also hurt. Rudy in that last game or the second to last game fell and sort of rolled his ankle, so he didn't have really enough mobility to get to the corner. So I think a lot of the blame we put on him for that series isn't really fair.
Yeah, I think it was more team construction and a team failure plus a lot of bad injuries than Rudy specifically.
Yeah.
For sure. Do we want to start with individual players, team stuff? I'm trying to figure out.
Let's talk about we can do sort of the draft and free agency sort of all together, just kind of see who has moved and what
effect. Oh yeah, the draft happened.
The draft. did happen. Not a whole lot unexpected.
The Magic had the best draft.
Magic had a great draft.
Yeah, Jalen Suggs. So the Raptors took Scotty Barnes from Florida State at four. He's a good player, but I thought Jalen Suggs shouldn't. I mean, Cade Cunningham, who went number one from Oklahoma State, probably should have gone number one, but I thought Suggs should have been in the conversation, even if he shouldn't have been the number one pick, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. More than he was. I thought, because it seemed like there was like a top three, then he was like the fourth guy. I felt like he was closer to the top three than the fourth guy.
Yeah.
And he ended up being the fifth pick, and he just fell to the Magic. So he was awesome. I hate Gonzaga, but he was awesome at Gonzaga. Great athlete. Mr. Football in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Everyone talks about that all the time. And he's going to Orlando. They got that Michigan, I think Moritz Wagner, the Michigan man, as well, at eight. So Orlando had the best draft, which is, I don't believe, something they've ever been able to say.
Yeah. You know, it'll be interesting. I don't know. They're still going to be the Magic.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, and they've kind of traded Vucevic to the Bulls. So they're going to have couple of hard years, but you know, maybe, you know, Jalen Suggs does well, they get a couple more draft picks, Markelle Fultz kind of figures out how to turn it around, and you know, maybe they got a competent team.
Let's talk about the Bulls while we're on the subject, because I was intrigued. I don't know if I'm excited or not, but they sign and trade for Lonzo Ball, got DeMar DeRozan, that also might have been a sign and trade, but I don't think that was. They Lauri Markkanen's moving on. They did one or two other things, I think, as well. But their starting lineup's going to be like Lonzo Ball, Zach LaVine. I was waiting on Zach LaVine for a second. DeMar DeRozan, Vucevic, and then Pat Williams. And then my guy, Kobe White. I don't know what's going to happen with him. I guess you got to go for it. I like DeMar DeRozan. He's always, like, analytically, like a nightmare. But I think he's a good player. I think Lonzo Ball's a good player. His three-point shooting's been dramatically improved from, like, his rookie, so it's worked on a shot a lot. I think they'll be good. I think they're still looking at, like, six or seven in the East, probably, which I guess is better than not making the playoffs.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it depends on what your measure of success is. If your measure of success is, does this help us win a championship, then I don't think that Lonzo Ball, DeMar DeRozan really help you win a championship at this point. If your model of success is, like, hey, look, let's just have a competent team, a couple of guys on the team with DeRozan and Zach LaVine, who can score 30 on any given night, have some exciting dunks, and get into the playoffs, and you know, maybe win a game or two in the first round. Then yeah, I think that's a success, which I think we need more of.
And Chicago's a place where I think they can get people as well. Now, they haven't gotten, like, the biggest stars in the past, but I think if they show that they can be competent. Also, they gave up, like, their first-round picks, like, for the next year or so are going to Orlando for the Vucevic trade, so being bad doesn't really help them anyway.
Right, yeah.
They might as well.
Yeah, might as well go for it.
DeMar DeRozan was only a three-year contract, I think, so I don't think it's bad. I think my favorite team, as far as, like, what they did in the free agency particularly, was the Miami Heat. I like the Kyle Lowry signing. I like they extended Jimmy Butler. They're going for it. They kept Duncan Robinson as well. They did one or two other things that I'm blanking on. But what was the name of the white? Tyler Hero. I forgot about him. I think he's going to be just naturally better in his second or third. I guess it's his third year. Like, progression is not linear. He had a rough year last year, but I think that's normal. I think he's going to take a big jump.
Yeah.
I like Lowry. I like Butler. I think they're, maybe I'm overstating, but I thought they were contenders last year to get back to the finals. I think they have a good shot to do that this year. They signed Markieff Morris.
Yeah. You know who's on the Heat that I totally forgot about?
Who?
Victor Oladipo.
Victor Oladipo's on the Heat, yeah.
Which I think.
And they signed him again.
Yeah, and I think that signs up. Like, I think with that team, they can do some really good things, but, like, if they decide, you know, we need one more superstar to go with Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, I think you can put together a pretty competent package with Oladipo and, let's say, Tyler Hero if he takes that jump. I think that would be a good option. I think if you just keep those guys and want to try to have depth, I think that's a good option. I don't know where they are with draft picks and how they could turn those into picks, but I think they are in a pretty good position.
I did too. I like what Miami did a lot. Another team, I was I don't know if I disliked it necessarily, because there was a few things I liked, but I'm just confused really kind of what the Lakers are doing. They signed Malik Monk, which I think was their best signing. Uh-huh. They traded for Russell Westbrook. They got Carmelo Anthony. I'm missing one or two others because they overturned like their whole roster, I felt like, basically. Kyle Kuzma's going to D.C. KCP's going to D.C. as well. So I don't think anyone in the West got demonstrably better. I think the Clippers got a little bit better. I think the Jazz got a little bit better. I think the Suns got a little bit better. I think the Lakers got a little bit worse. But
I think the Jazz got better than you maybe think. Let's get to them in a sec, though. With the Lakers, I think, is interesting because I feel like this is going to be like the last hurrah for like good players that aren't necessarily good shooters. Because Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James should be good enough to win a title together. Like, they just should be, you know? And they're really good passers. Anthony Davis on the inside is going to be good. So I just feel like if this doesn't work, I just feel like you're never going to see really a point guard making more than $5 million a year who's a bad shooter, like, ever again.
Well, it'll be interesting because Russ, like, his whole life, he's at least had an argument where he's the best player. I think Kevin Durant was, I think most people say Kevin Durant was better in Oklahoma City and Harden was better in Houston, but Russell was close. You know, Russell was an important one too in those teams. Mm-hmm. And even in DC with Beal, like, and Russ has said you can make an argument he was the number one guy or like top tier. He's like the clear number third. And I don't even know how much you can argue that, even if you're Russell Westbrook. So I'm interested to see is like what he does. Does he still play the same, or does he take a half step more of a backseat than he's ever done before?
Yeah. What I do feel optimistic about is LeBron James, I think, is going to be 38 this year. So I think this really is going to allow – he might be 36, actually. Jake's going to look this up on time. What I think is going to be good is you're going to be able to have the ball in Russell Westbrook's hand a lot. And he needs the ball really to be successful, even if he's passing it. But I feel like it's going to allow LeBron James to cut. He can catch and shoot. He can expend more energy on the defensive end. And so we're going to see – I'm hoping that we see things from LeBron James that we haven't seen in a few years. So if, you know, Russ can pass – even more than he has in the past and look for LeBron and Anthony Davis. I think it could work out really, really well.
LeBron is 36.
36, okay.
Turns 37 during the season.
Okay, that's, I think, what I was thinking. But still, yeah, he's still going to be very, very, very good, but he just is not going to have as much energy as he has. And I think with Russell Westbrook, he's going to be able to rest in game a lot more.
Well, especially during the regular season, if nothing else, Russ can carry the Lakers for stretches where LeBron doesn't have to necessarily. Mm-hmm. Gives LeBron a little bit more leeway because Russ is like the Energizer Bunny.
Yeah.
So, worst case, LeBron's more rested before the playoffs. And with him, it doesn't really matter what seed they are, really. I think if Anthony Davis doesn't get hurt, the Lakers win that series against the Suns still.
I think so. I mean,
it's not a for sure.
I don't think that it matters. I don't think they want to be the seven seed again. I think they want to be top four.
Yeah,
for sure. But yeah, I don't think they want to be seven, but they don't need to be one. And one, I think, is, again, it's going to be Phoenix, Utah. I guess it depends when Jamal Murray comes back. So I'm not going to say the Nuggets because I don't think he's going to be back right at the start of the season.
Yeah, I think he's going to miss. I think the Nuggets are going to take a step back just because Jamal Murray is gone. Phoenix got Landry Shamet from Brooklyn, who I like. He's been bounced around a little bit, but he was a good player coming out of Wichita State. Just another shooter that they have. So I think Phoenix is going to be good. I would say probably Phoenix, Utah, no particular order. You have to say the Lakers because of LeBron. Probably the Clippers. I think that's kind of the top four in the West you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And Denver would be there if Jamal Murray was healthy.
Right.
And even without him, Jokic, like they'll still be a good team. But I think that's kind of the top four team.
Yeah. I think Denver is going to end up in the Dallas territory, which is a good place to be just because Luka is so, so good.
Yeah, Dallas didn't really do anything, but they re-signed Hardaway, which was important, obviously Louisville and team. If Kristaps Porzingis can play defense, and he's kind of like in no man's land, I feel like, between a 4 and a 5. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the key for Dallas to take a step. They wanted to get Lowry, and they didn't. But, like, with Luka, you're always going to have a shot. I think not doing anything, but also, like, not doing things just for the sake of doing them was a good decision. Mm-hmm. So since they missed out on Lowry, just keeping everybody, I think in that sense they had a good offseason, and there's something to continuity. And we've seen that with Utah. Like, that's been one of their benefits, that they just kind of run it back as much as they can, and that's been beneficial more than other teams. So I think Dallas is going to see improvement just from, hey, Luka's been another year, and then just team continuity.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned we were going to get to this once we were done with the Lakers. How do you feel about the Jazz offseason? So that is lost a couple players, but gained Rudy Gay, Hassan Whiteside. We drafted Butler, who I always forget his first name. And then we also got Eric Pascal from the Warriors.
Yeah, well, Pascal's just a good wing defender we can have, just depth, you know. Just, I think probably going to be like the ninth guy off the bench or something like that, but that's important during the regular season. I like Rudy Gay. I think the combination of Rudy Gay and Hassan Whiteside is better than Derek Favors plus whatever wing player we could have gotten for the mid-level. Mm-hmm. So I think in that sense, even though I think Derek Favors is probably a better backup center than Whiteside, I think I'd rather have Whiteside and Gay than Favors and, again, whatever other wing player we could have gotten.
Georges Niang is who we lost. So I think Gay is effectively replacing Georges Niang.
If you look at it that way, then for sure. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. The other thing I think because Rudy Gay can play small ball five, Pascal played some small ball five with the Warriors. I think it gives us the flex. Like, I don't think that's necessarily what we want to do, but in the playoffs, there's going to be moments where we're going to have to do that. And so having the option to do that, I think, is really good, even though Rudy is still going to play 33 to 38 minutes a game in the playoffs, even against teams like the Clippers. The other thing with Hassan Whiteside is I just think his ceiling is so much higher than Derek Favors, and I don't know how much lower the floor is. I don't think it's much lower than Derek Favors, but I just think the ceiling with Hassan Whiteside is really, really high.
Yeah, well, I see what you're talking about. And just like with a roster, like in baseball, if you get a guy who can play second, can play third, can play in the outfield, can play like four or five different positions, that makes it just so much easier for everybody, not just to get that guy on the field, but to get everyone on the field. So with Gay and Pascal, just the roster versatility and flexibility is something the Jazz didn't have as much last year. So I think that's definitely going to be helpful. So that's why I think they stay in that top group. And one of the things they were missing, and the reason, even though they were the number one seed last year, I kind of felt it was going to be Phoenix or Denver, the Lakers. I think I said the Lakers were going to go to the finals when the playoffs started.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm excited. It's been a busy week, so I'm excited about what Miami did. Really, the only team I don't like the Bulls, I don't know if I love, but like I at least get what they're doing. New Orleans is the only team I like and was perplexed by. Like, I think they should have tried to keep Lonzo. They gave away a first-round pick for Devontae Graham, who's a good player, but in a sign, they had to get a first-round pick in a sign-in trade with Charlotte. Don't think that makes sense. So, yeah, I don't like what New Orleans did, but I think everyone else, I can at least kind of see what they're doing. Like Dallas continuity. Utah, Utah because we're from here, but Dallas I like staying together. Miami I liked. I thought the Clippers, same thing. They had like Justice Winslow, who isn't great, but something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we'll see. I think no one in the West made monumental moves, so I think it'll be interesting coming back this year.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting season for sure.
For sure. And then, pretty soon football starting. So the next episode might have to be a football preview, either college or NFL or something like that, because that's starting in a few weeks. We're going to be in planning to be in Las Vegas Labor Day weekend for the BYU Arizona football game. First game in Raider Stadium with fans that I'm aware of, so I'm excited about that. Are we missing anything? Anything else we need to?
I think we got everything we wanted to talk about.
Cool. It's been a pleasure. Olympics 3 years from now. next podcast, Matt and I will be a year older, another lap around the sun. So we're probably not doing anything huge for the birthday, but we'll fill you in for sure. Appreciate everybody listening, and we'll talk to you guys later.